Sharon, can you tell me about the Standing on Their Shoulders project?
Sure. That is a project that featuring the Black English-speaking community of Little Burgundy, and it was highlighting and preserving, capturing the stories of the community of the Little Burgundy area, St. Henry and Ville Marie.
So for people who are not from Montreal, can you describe what Little Burgundy is and how the Black community started there?
Okay, Little Burgundy is just, I would say a borough, but it's, I don't know if you call them boroughs, it's a little, it's a district of town.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of the Blacks migrate when they migrated to Canada. Well, I shouldn't say a lot of them, but they, when they came to Montreal, they kind of centralized there because the work that they were able to get was, the men were able to work as porters. And the CP station was the walking distance from the Little Burgundy area. CP station is a train station in Montreal.
For people who, for example, loved jazz, they know that this is the area that gave Canada and the world somebody like Oscar Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about the project to. This project to highlight and preserve the history and the Black history of this area.
Well, the interesting thing about the project is that a lot of people came. There was a lot of famous people, and there was a lot of activity that came out of Little Burgundy area. And the most popular stories we know are Oscar Peterson and Oliver Jones. But there were a lot of other things. There was Rockhead's Paradise as well, which was a club. And Rufus Rockhead, he was a porter, and he used to bring in the alcohol. And then, I shouldn't say, well, he brought it in illegally, I guess, I would have to say. And he opened the club. And a lot of jazz musicians, when they used to come to Montreal, they used to go to Rufus Rockhead, the Rockhead's Paradise is what it was called, from the likes of Sammy Davis. And a lot of, there's like a lot of them that got their start in Rockhead's Paradise, a lot of the musicians that are around now. And some of the musicians we were talking about that, they said that they would play there, and the people like, the famous people that used to come by, and they would just behave just as if they were normal people, you know, like there was, they didn't have that celebrity status until somebody said, oh, you know, so-and-so was there, and they said, oh, really? I didn't know that, I didn't know Sammy Davis, so that's just the name that keeps coming to my mind at this moment, but yeah, people like that used to come there to perform. And then there was others, one of the first basketball, you know, Olympians, Sylvia Sweeney, who was Oscar Peterson's niece. She was an Olympian, she was one of the first Olympians, and she playing basketball for the Canadian team. There's our first Black male media person who was on TV on a regular basis, which was Don Jordan. You know, there were people like Dr. Dorothy Wills who has, you know, didn't come from Little Burgundy but used to go to Little Burgundy because that's where all the activity was. That's where the Blacks used to go. They used to attend like the NCC, which was the Negro Community Center, where that was the hub for the Black community, and that was based in Little Burgundy. And that's where most of the people used to go. They used to migrate there, and they socialize and play basketball, learned how to tap dance. They learned how to play piano. It was the place. And then we just started, you know, it started to branch out from there. But it began in Little Burgundy. The domestic workers started there as well. In Little Burgundy, they were based there when they came into Canada. Yeah.
You got a team of young filmmakers and artists to create this, I guess, a collage of 20 short videos. Can you tell me about these videos a bit?
Okay, they were not filmmakers. They were youth. They were random youth. We put a call out that we were doing this project, and we provided them with resources, information, and they heeded the call. They came in and they learned. You know, they had the topics, and they decided on which topic they were going to interpret. And that was the basic thing. It was the main thing was that they were going to interpret these stories into their own artistic form. So we had spoken word artists, we had graffiti artists, we had dancers, and some were just interviews, and there was there's sketch artists and spoken word and graffiti artists. Yeah, they were students. They were just random students that just wanted to take part in this project. They did interviews, and some of them were interview styles, and some were, like I said, spoken word, and some was done in art form, and some was done in dance and stuff like that.
So this is now a collection of 20 short videos?
20 short videos of 3 minutes each. Some went a little longer, some were a little less. But the main thing was that they were 20 videos at 3 minutes each.
And so where can people see them?
We had our launch yesterday. And the next screening is going to be at Concordia University, and it'll be from March 7th to March 16th.
Are you planning to take this across the country as well?
I believe so. We've pretty much let the project take its course, and there's a great demand. Like yesterday after our launch, many people came up to us and asked, "Oh, can we buy the DVD? Can we see it online? We want to see it?" And we also have different like museums and that have approached us and that are interested in showing this further on down the line. But right now, we're just one step at a time. We knew it was good. We knew that it was good, and I just don't think that we realized that it was going to be that good. It really, really took a life on of its own, and it's going to be going for a while. We have this school board here as well that's interested in using it for their Black history.
Any of this 20 videos, do you have a favorite or a couple of favorites that you want to talk about?
There is a couple. There's the domestic workers. So that one was the way that it was presented was. I felt that it was unique. It was an interpretive dance, but it was a there was somebody that was narrating, and there was somebody else that was just expressing the person's feelings. Like if somebody was, they were saying they were happy, so she had the whole facial expression and the body language about being happy, and if she was sad or she was crying when she was doing the work, it was that I felt was one of the most... it was unique for me. And then there was one, it was a family tree, in a sense. It was the Sandoval family, and the artist did a sketch as the interview was going on. There was also a painting that was done in front of the grounds of the Negro Community Center, which I mentioned before was the hub of the Black community many years ago. A youth graffiti artist went there and did a painting of, even though the building is no more because it's been demolished, he did a painting of the building as he remembers as it used to be. So that was nice as well. There was a few interviews. I can't put my hand on one or two in particular, really. Because as I'm saying them to you now, I'm seeing all the different ones, and I can see points in them that I really liked. There was, for sure. It's hard to say. It's really hard to say. They're all different.
So the next step in this project, what are you thinking?
This project really comes to an end at the end of March, and we're working on something else on a broader scheme. Oh, similar along the lines, but on a broader scheme, because there's a lack of Black history knowledge of Montreal, especially Montreal, like right here in our own backyard. There's a lot that I realized, one for me, I should say, because even though I born here, went to school here, been active in the Black community, there was so much that I did not know. I learned a lot. I really did learn a lot, and in addition to that, going into the some of the after-school programs in Little Burgundy or talking to some of the youth, they, right there in their own backyard, they didn't know anything about, you know, some of the people. You know, even though Oliver Jones is always in the neighborhood or around, accessible, you know, they didn't know anything about him. They didn't know about Sylvia Sweeney. You know, and that's a, it's a sad thing, because these are people that have done so much for us, opened doors for us, and they really didn't have any knowledge of it. So for me, I think it's very important that we continue to sit down and talk to our elders and learn about what they've done for us, or the, it's not so much that they've done for us, so much, it's more that what they've done, so that we can move forward and enjoy the you know, the do things that they were not able to do, that they fought for us to do, or fought to do, so that we can do right now. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that it's not, that knowledge is not readily available. It's almost like there is no, that the only history is American history or European history. The Black history is really important. All history is important, but especially when it affects you, your culture or your race, and it's being treated as though it doesn't exist. I think that's it's unfortunate. I really think that's unfortunate. So I hope that what we've done here, the team, has opened the eyes to people, and that we will continue to bring the that information forward, bring that history forward, and not just for the, you know, for Black History Month, but that it's something that's in the curriculum, and that kids will, people will know, people will learn, you know, and that's the beauty of it. And it really doesn't cost anything, you know. It's just, it's about sharing sharing the story, sharing the past, sharing your experiences. You know, that's really what it is.